The good news of Jesus Christ starts by recognizing our poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We've got to start by not believing anything good about ourselves. That's the starting place. You don't need a Messiah unless you understand the depth of the poverty of your heart. If we don't recognize inside of our own heart that we have a total problem, then we certainly don't need a Messiah. A lot of people would say, well, you need a good self-image, and you know, people come to Christ because they want to go to heaven, and they come to Christ so-called because they want to be part of a good church, and they read the Bible, and it seems like the right thing to do to become a Christian. Seems more reasonable than some other sort of thing, or you know, it's a lifestyle thing that mom and dad taught them, or they have a bunch of friends that are Christians, and so they kind of go up the aisle and sign the card or whatever. Well, I have news for you. You'll never know the power of God in your life unless you know the depravity of your own heart. You cannot know the power of God as long as you maintain a pride and an egocentric view of what God can do for you and how you can use God like some genie in the bottle to get a bunch of friends and to get your soul saved and this and that and the other. You've got to face the emptiness of your heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom. You've got to start with letting God dress you down. There is no other way. If you feel like you're facing a major crisis, then and only then can you really understand how much you really need God. He who has been forgiven much, Jesus said, loves much. Now who needs to be forgiven much except one that has faced Jesus of Nazareth, got on their face before him and wept over his feet and anointed him with perfume and dried his feet with your hair. Until you have that sort of self-abasement, that sort of understanding of how deeply you need Jesus and there is no other way, you'll not find the power of God in your life either. Unless the seed falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. You will be the loneliest person on earth, and the more you learn about Christianity, the more you learn about Jesus' teachings, the more you see the life of God and the people of God, the more empty and alone you'll be if you yourself have not died. Seeing the life, hanging around the life, hearing about the life will only serve to make you even more miserable and more alone if you've not faced Jesus with your own sin, your own desperate need for Him, your own desire to fall on the rock and be broken to pieces because there's no other hope for you. Until you comprehend that, until you go to the cross and deny your very self as having any value, until you start there, you don't need a Messiah. Genie in the bottle, maybe, to do good deeds for you, somebody to pray, a rabbit's foot to give you a little better luck than the rest of the people around you, some sort of moral law in order to make you feel good about yourself. But apart from Jesus of Nazareth washing you by His blood, you have nothing, you are nothing. If you won't face that, you'll never understand resurrection power. I'm not trying to make you have some sort of complex. I'm wanting you to see that in order to have faith or total dependence on Jesus Christ, you also have to see your need. If you still are hanging on to pride, hanging on to your accomplishments, hanging on to your good deeds, your good works, your good looks, if you're hanging on to anything, you're dead. You will abide alone. Now, I've seen people that have very little reason for pride have pride. I've seen people that have very little reason to hold on to their old life, as miserable as it was, still tenaciously hold on to their old life. You see, this is an inner man issue that happens in the unseen realm. This is not just a logical thing to do. This is Satan, who has birthed offspring throughout the whole earth, born of the devil. Your father is the devil, Jesus said, that are now under this curse that has happened to all of humanity, that need to be bought back from that curse. And they need it desperately. And the very nature of the curse is that we are deceived. There's futile thinking, darkened hearts, darkened understanding. The very nature in Ephesians as well as Romans 2 is that we got a big problem on our hands. And until we face it and sense the total need we have for the glorious good news of Jesus Christ, then we'll never know His salvation, His deliverance, His power. There'll never be resurrection life in our bones. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. The power of an indestructible life. Peace that transcends understanding. Full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom. All of those things are meant as our inheritance, not just dying and going to heaven. But until we face really that the good news first is to face the very, very, very bad news. That going to church won't save us. Being a good person won't save us. Doing good deeds, giving things away will not save us. It means nothing to God. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Until we face all that, we don't need a Messiah. We got a lifestyle that'll save us, we think. See, we have a lifestyle that'll make us whole and full. But we've proven otherwise. All of us have at some time or another. If you found life that's truly life, the abundant life, life that's full and complete, if you found some of that, you've only found it because you've fallen on the rock and declared Jesus as the only answer for your sin and your selfishness and your foolishness. You've become poor in spirit. You've made yourself nothing because it's an accurate assessment of who you are apart from Jesus. Then, maybe then, you'll find the power of an indestructible life, tasting the powers of the coming age, the scriptures say. Then and only then will you find what Jesus left for you as an inheritance. My peace I leave for you, he said, to those that had consecrated themselves to him. But if you're abiding alone, as Jesus said in John 12, if you're living in poverty, if there's an emptiness in your heart, if you're ransacked by sin and temptation and misery and attitudes and foolishness, lack of wisdom, you keep getting caught with this lack of wisdom where you don't see God, you don't hear God, and somebody else does, and you're embarrassed about that, and you're tempted to rear up with pride and compare, all these other sorts of things. If that stuff's happening in your heart, these secret judgments of other people as you look around, well, they this and they that, and I can't believe they said this, and that sure is. If you got all that cancer in your heart, it's because you have not found yet the good news of Jesus Christ. He's not yet set you free as he desires to set you free. And I want you to understand that if someone in your life dresses you down, it's so that you can find Jesus and cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. To face Jesus in a way that you wouldn't face apart from the pain. The kingdom is entered, Paul said, with much tribulation. You need to know that the only way to resurrection life is through a cross, and a cross is never without humiliation, it's never without rejection, it's never without pain. You'll never find a cross that's a real cross that is lacking in those three things. You need to understand that. And if you're not facing those things, or if you are repulsed by that, if you want to reject that, if you don't want someone to say to you, get behind me, Satan, well, wait a minute, who are you to talk to me like that? You know, if that's your attitude, if you're not willing to let the life of God, the corporate life of Jesus, put you in a place where you feel the pain, then you'll never really find the resurrection power either. God sovereignly orders these things for our good, from our roommates, our spouses, even our children, our parents, that God sovereignly orders opportunities for us to face our own sinfulness and humble ourselves and call on his name. Throughout all of creation, he's made his presence known. He's made his righteousness known. It's also true that God gives every single one of us a chance to face the agony of the cross, and usually multiple opportunities, as he wants to translate us from glory to glory to glory. You'll find different kinds of crosses, different things that God puts in front of you. And I just want to encourage you, as a friend and as a brother, to face these things, to count it, as James said, with pure joy, and to learn perseverance, and let your faith be tested as by the fire, and to turn your face towards him, and let your attitude be refined as you face him and humble yourself before him. I just want to beg you to do that, because there's nothing anyone else can do for you if God has sovereignly ordered humiliation, rejection, and pain into your life. If he's ordered that, if he's placed that in front of you in a sovereign, supernatural way through your circumstances, and things will humiliate you that don't others, and things will humiliate others that don't you. It's an experience that he custom fits for each of us from glory to glory to glory. And if we won't face that with pure joy and humble ourselves before the exposing light of God, fall on our face before him, wash his feet with our tears and with our hair, if we won't do that in humility and grace and go forward, then we'll be cutting ourselves off and determining our own destiny to abide alone. And there's no amount of good works, there's no amount of knowledge, there's no amount of superficial fellowship, because that's all you'll ever have in this state. There's no amount of any amount of things around you that'll keep you from feeling totally alone in your life. if you've never faced the gospel of Jesus. The good news of Jesus is meant to forgive your sin and to render sin as powerless in your life. That's the gospel of Jesus, the good news.